I'm Kate Remington with Jonathan Yates. He's the music director and the conductor of the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra. And my goodness, it's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up.
It has. It's so nice to see you, Kate.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too. And we've got a great thing to talk about, which is the full concert series, the full concert season that begins in September with the Norwalk Symphony. And before we dive into that, I would love to know what the last year has been like for you and the orchestra. I mean, how did you guys stay together? How did you stay connected?
I mean, it's been wild.
Yeah.
You know, I think this year has been unique, has been challenging for everyone, right? But it is definitely a unique challenge for people in the arts, no question, just because we rely on getting together and, you know, not just getting together with an orchestra, but getting together with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that over the, you know, since the beginning of the pandemic, we haven't had any live concerts. That said, we came up with some really great projects that we did during the pandemic. We started with some layered videos, a lot of, but I'm really proud of the specific ones we did. We did a great collaboration with the Maritime Aquarium in Norwalk. And so we put together a layered video of Saint-Saëns, the aquarium movement from Carnival of the Animals with in the musicians intertwined with, you know, shots from the aquarium and this incredible producer who came in and did it for us. And I played both piano parts, and we even had an actual glass harmonica player do the glass harmonica part, which doesn't usually happen. Usually
it's
replaced by just a xylophone or a glockenspiel rather. And so that was exciting because, you know, we were able to work with an authentic glass harmonica player who was in, you know, out in Pennsylvania, which is an opportunity maybe you couldn't have had during the pandemic. And then, you know, we did a lot of education, a lot of Zoom meetings with kids in the schools. And then we did do three chamber orchestra concerts that we streamed.
Mm-hmm.
Two string orchestra concerts and a wind and brass ensemble concert. And, you know, even that was really exciting. I mean, first of all, any opportunity to work with those great musicians is exciting. But it also, it meant that we were able to do some repertoire that we wouldn't have done otherwise. You know, particularly in the wind and brass concert, we did a world premiere of a work of a friend of mine. We did works by Carl Ruggles. The wind concert, you know, because we did some music from the Renaissance as well, you know, because they've got that great antiphonal brass stuff. It was definitely the widest range of repertoire the Norwalk Symphony, I think, has ever, you know, it spanned something like 400 years, which is really neat. But, you know, all that said, it's, you know, we thrive on actually presenting concerts to audiences. And so we're so excited to actually be returning to a live audience.
Well, we are too, because, you know, we've all missed the experience of sitting in a hall with other people listening to just a moment, a musical moment that's not going to be recreated again. And when your season opens on September 25th, I think we're all going to be just so happy that we have a chance to hear the orchestra again. And you've chosen such a wonderful program. It's called American Trailblazers, and it features the composers that you might expect. You know, they are so part of our landscape now. It's hard to imagine that they were trailblazers, but Aaron Copland, Leonard Bernstein, and Samuel Barber. And then you've mixed in two remarkable women, Florence Price, who was composing in the mid-1950s, and then contemporary composer Gwyneth Walker. And I love the diversity on this program.
Thanks. Yeah, we're really excited about it too, you know, to have some real, like, you know, kind of standard gems, things that everybody will know and everybody will recognize and everyone will be delighted by. Plus, yeah, a couple works that I can, you know, bet money on nobody will before, and both that happen to be by female composers, and both that people are going to adore too. They're both really appealing works as well. So yeah, it's a very exciting program and a fun way to come back to, you know, just celebrate celebrate the music of America.
Well, as, and especially starting with the fanfare for the common man, I think everybody who's made it through the last year deserves a fanfare.
That's exactly right. No, we need a celebration.
Yeah.
You know, we really do. And yeah, that'll be immediately familiar to anybody who's, I don't know, been to the Olympics or anything, mm-hmm. or watch the Olympics, yeah, or any sporting event. Yeah, it's, well, it's just, and it's got such a great, you know, such a great backstory too, that Copeland was, you know, he was a real populist, and a populist coming out of the New Deal era, you know, that he was inspired by FDR and what that meant for America. And so when he writes that fanfare for the common man, that's not just a platitude, mm-hmm. you know, that's what that whole era was about, was, you know, elevating everybody who worked in this country, and a sense that, you know, out of the Gilded Age and into an ideal where the American worker really meant something. And so it's, you know, at this time when we're, you know, thinking that much harder about what community means too, you know, yeah, it's a great way to start, I think.
Well, it is. And it's been a year of loss for many, many people. And I think the Barber Adagio is a really wonderful, sensitive choice to kind of acknowledge that it has been a tough year.
Well, and that's just it, Kate. Like, it's tricky, right? How to balance the sense of, like, you know, it is a celebration to come back, but also that, you know, it's been a real challenge, and nobody in that audience is not going to have been touched by, in some way, by, you know, by loss. And the Barber Adagio, it really speaks to that. And, you know, I don't, as we all get older, you know, at one point I would be able to say, like, and everybody will be familiar with it from the movie Platoon. And I realize that that's no longer the case necessarily. But yeah, it's a very deep and affecting work. You know, taken originally from the string quartet. And I love Sam Barber. You know, great to celebrate. Actually, God, all gay composers, all of the which is, I'm embarrassed to admit, it just occurred to me, that all of the sort of standard composers, right, mm-hmm. on our list are all gay.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting too. That happened recently as we sort of changed things around, and mm-hmm. Great to celebrate, you know, being a gay man. It's just great that we're celebrating the incredible cultural legacy of gay composers in this country as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's such a great time, because we can be way more open about this sort of thing. I mean, there were, you know, for hundreds of years, composers had to really not even talk about it, not be proud of it. And so this is a wonderful time for us to acknowledge that here is this legacy that these amazing people have been able to contribute. And so that's so great. And for people who aren't familiar with Florence Price, she's remarkable. I mean, not only was she a woman composer, she's also Black. Yeah. And just, you know, her career got off to such a great start. She won this huge prize, the Wanamaker Prize, for one of her works. And it really seemed as though her career was going to take off. But then it sort of stalled. But now she's just being rediscovered. So I think that you putting her music on the program is really fantastic.
Well, and she deserves to be elevated. You know, it's, I mean, that's a voice that needs to be heard. And it's also, it's a voice of a specific era too. It's like, it's incredibly charming music.
Mm-hmm.
It's so full of life. And the piece that we've picked specifically are these three little dance movements, and they're just, I don't know, they're just top notch, you know, and very reminiscent of, yeah, the music of the early 20th century. And it deserves to be elevated, really. And people, again, what's neat about this program is these pieces that people aren't familiar with, they're going to love mm-hmm. immediately. You know, it's just her music, you know, not that we pick music specifically to be accessible, but as it happens, Her music is definitely, it just invites you right in. Yeah, I love these little pieces.
How easy or how difficult is it to find music by her? I mean, how much research did you have to do? How much of a deep dive did you have to do to find this?
I mean, you know, she has been gaining some celebrity recently, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like anything else. You got to find you got to find the work that fits the orchestra, right? Mm-hmm. And so we did a little bit of a deep dive and found these pieces that are actually a little less frequently played of hers, and fell for them, and we programmed them.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think her following is going to get bigger and bigger the more familiar people become with her music. And Gwyneth Walker, I've been a fan of Gwyneth's for like, I don't know, 30 years. She's so great. And which work of hers is on the program?
So it's a work called Hints and Tappings. Uh-huh. God, talk about charming. Actually, the reason it's called Hints and Tappings is that it involves players tapping on their instruments. There's some vocalizations that the players do as well. It's also for chamber orchestra, which is great for us under current COVID guidelines. And it's jazzy and it's rhythmic and but at the same time, like, unquestionably modern. Mm-hmm. You know, in its sensibilities, and it's just appealing.
All of her music is.
It's true. I've been, you know, also doing a deep dive into her music. That's what's great about, you know, when you're trying to craft a program of all American composers, and you want to do stuff that people aren't familiar with, you do get to do these deep dives into these great composers' repertoire that you wouldn't otherwise know. And it's been great just like playing around with all of her music.
Yeah, I can imagine.
it's such a treat to get to do stuff like that.
Well, it is. And her music, it's so tied to the landscape of Vermont, where she spends a lot of her time, and you hear little glimmers of like the natural world, or you hear how nature inspires her. And so I think for anyone who's not familiar with her music, this is going to be a really great surprise.
Yeah, and also like great to do a work by a local composer. She lives in New Canaan, as you said, you know, I mean, that's really exciting. She can come to the concert, she'll be there, she's gonna collaborate with a couple of our musicians and some educational programming. Like, how great that we get to promote a composer who's local, who has, you know, really just done such remarkable things.
Yeah, definitely. As you were putting this season's concerts together, what were some of the things that you had to take into consideration? What were some of the things that you wanted people to feel or to share with audiences, like, through the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple considerations. We wanted it to be as welcoming as possible, if that makes sense. You know, this maybe isn't the season to turn things on their head. You know, we wanted every concert just to feel like people to just for their eyes to light up a little bit with every concert, you know, so that first concert is all these great American works. Second concert is mainly Mozart and some great works of Mozart they'll recognize, and planning to do a Mahl of the Night Visitors, which is such a great, great Christmas work, and Carnival of the Animals. And then later, jazz with the Brubecks and some Star Wars music, you know, just stuff that would welcome everybody in. Although I'll point out too that we are actually going to end with the Verdi Requiem. Mm-hmm. As you know, again, we've been talking about trying to both, you know, celebrate the return and acknowledge the sense of loss that we have, and so, you know, there's no more profound work than the Verdi Requiem to really embody that feeling.
Yeah. The Verdi Requiem in particular, it's so obviously operatic. I mean, he has a few other religious works, but this one is just so profound and so dramatic.
Yeah, he has a sense of drama, that one. and I've actually never conducted it, so that's going to be personally exciting for me as well. But for people who aren't familiar with it, yeah, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different requiems have different qualities. You know, the Foray is kind of more consoling. The Verdi, as you acknowledged, is high drama.
Mm-hmm.
it's an exciting work and a deeply moving work.
Yeah. You mentioned briefly some of the COVID guidelines for the concerts. How did that influence some of the music that you chose to put on the programs?
Well, yeah, it's continuing to evolve, of course. for this opening concert, we wanted to make sure that the orchestra could be spaced according to the guidelines out of the study that's out of Boulder right now, which recommends that each player has a minimum of 3x3 of like 9 square feet to their of personal space. We're constantly looking up what the science recommends so that our players can stay healthy, so that our audience feels secure and safe and healthy. And there's a mask mandate right now in Norwalk, and so everybody will be masked in our concerts as well. And the thing is, everybody has to feel good about mm-hmm. the return, you know, and the Delta variant puts a little spin on that. But we are making sure that the experience for our audience and for our orchestra is as safe as absolutely humanly possible.
Well, it's just such a hopeful sign that, you know, there will be a concert. And I think, you know, taking things forward one step at a time just gives everybody a lot more optimism and hope. And is there anything that I didn't ask you about this season that you'd like people to know?
I just, you know, look forward to seeing everybody in Norwalk Concert Hall for 6 concerts that we are very excited to offer.
Jonathan, it's been so much fun to catch up with you, and I just cannot wait for the first concert this season. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. I'm always so grateful for you to have.